Today on Real Radio.
Jonah's sitting on a hill. It's hot out here. Whoop, a plant. Hey, this is great. I got my own plant. All those people down there, let them go to hell. What do I care? I got my plant. This is great. Then God takes the plant away, and now he's all angry about a plant. And he says, yeah, it's right for me to be angry, even to the point of death. And God says, okay, time out, wait a minute. Your argument is this. You're upset, you want to die, Jonah, because you don't have your plant anymore. You care about the plant. You have a very little world, Jonah. I care about the world. People are no longer going to perish. And you're concerned about a plant?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Jonah. In fact, what we'll hear today will be the final part of the final study in our journey through this account. It's taken from the last chapter in verses 6 through 11. The entire story ends with an apparent argument between Jonah and the very true God he represented. It's a lesson in coming to grips with the fact that God is in control. This is my Father's world, as the hymn goes. In fact, all of Jonah is a commentary on how God will be God. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, wrapping up this series in a presentation called Finding Jonah.
Once you come to Christ, how do you now invest the life that you thought was once yours, now it's God's? And how do you take what's in your life and give it to God? How do you do that? You present it to him. You say things like, Lord, all that I have is yours. This is convicting, isn't it? Do you have a car? It's God's car. Do you have a dollar? It's God's dollar. Do you have energy? Praise the Lord. It's God's energy for his work. Do you have an influence? By the way, every one of you in this room, you have an influence over someone in this world. God wants to know, okay, I've given you an influence over some. What are you doing with that to promote the kingdom? In other words, am I loving God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind? That's the question. It's very important. The third thing we consider on this point is this, that God uses disasters when they come upon us. Boy, isn't September 11th a great example of that? God has used that disaster in tremendous ways. The gospel is going forward. That's awesome and great. Christianity has a presence in Manhattan, in New York City, like it hasn't had in perhaps hundreds of years. God uses disasters. Verse 8 continues, then Jonah wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. This is Jonah's third death wish. The first one is an act. Remember, he tells the sailors on the ship, throw me overboard and the storm will cease. Just throw me over. That's his first death wish. His second one, he said it last week, it's better for me to die than to be alive. Why, Jonah? Because it's not going my way. He says it again now. It's better for me to die than to live. Maybe he's hoping the third time's a charm, huh? Maybe it'll happen now. Disaster. Without God in your thinking, you want to die. Jonah's lost hope. I want to die. Disaster. Jonah's now at the end of his own road, and that's a good place for Jonah. Even in the midst, though, of disaster and the disasters of life, God is working things out for us. Even in the midst of these disasters of life, whatever they might be. But why would Jonah be angry? Now look, this is so funny and sad at the same time. A moment ago, he was what? He was so happy about the plant. And now he wants to die. He's rejoicing in one moment over the plant. Now he wants to die. He wants to die because he lost the protection of the plant against the scorching sun. The sun is now hitting upon me. Listen, as it were, the judgment of the sun is cooking me. I don't like it. I want to die. Well, wait a minute, Jonah. God had prepared judgment for Nineveh. They were going to get scorched. But I spared my hand from judging them. Should you not be rejoicing over that like you did over the plant? Jonah, it's only the intense sun beating on your head right now, and you want to die? Do you see what God's doing, everybody? He's trying to get Jonah, as it were, to put on the sandals and walk in the shoes of a Ninevite. Jonah, come on! Second, Jonah's all bummed out and wants to die because the plant protected Jonah against the blistering heat. It's hot. Jonah, as hot as it is on this hilltop, as you look down upon the Ninevites, it's nothing compared to the heat of hell where the Ninevites were going until I spared them. I love what God's doing here. See, Jonah would not respond to words, so God sends him a great fish. Jonah would not respond to words, so God sends him a plant. Jonah would not respond to God's words, so God sends him a big worm. Jonah wouldn't respond to that, so God sends a very strong wind that brings the heat. Everything is intensifying Jonah's absolute dependence upon God. Jonah's all upset and he wants to die because he's exposed now to these extreme conditions. Jonah wants to die because now he's reached the point of death. I'll perish in this. God will do what he must, and verses 9 through 11 teach us that God must do what he must, yes, but God must say what he must say. And I love how this concludes. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are some 120,000 little ones and even animals? What the Lord has to say to Jonah is a couple of questions and a statement that, in my opinion, will change Jonah's life forever. Number one, this way. Look at verse 9. God will challenge Jonah's position. I love this. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And of course his response is, yep. But God questions him. Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? The word here, is it right? Jonah, are you correct? God is asking Jonah, are you correct in your position? Are you sure about the position you've taken up? What you are holding so dear, Jonah, as your hill to die on, as it were, to argue. Are you right about it? Are you sure? Man, that's a tremendous question. Hey, Calvary Chapel, are you sure about the position that you've taken up about this matter or about that? To go to this direction or the other, are you sure? God, just simply ask the question. All of us as people, we have this thing in our mind, you know, I need to do this, or I'm going to do the other. And God will ask us if we're still and if we're listening, if we just turn off the radio, turn off the TV. As it were, fast from noise. And let God say, this thing that's so important to you, is it right for you to be angry about it? The position that you're holding, is it a hill worth dying on? God is challenging Jonah in his position. And I don't believe God is yelling. I don't think God is thundering. Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? I think God is provoking Jonah to think. And I think God's tone is like this, perhaps. Jonah, because you know Jonah, he's all over the place emotionally. He's whacked out. Jonah, is it right for you? Have you taken up the correct position to be angry about this? Are you sure where you're standing is where you want to be standing? So God will challenge us there. Secondly, verse 10 says here to us that God will challenge our arguments. He challenges Jonah's argument. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. In other words, Jonah, you're all bent out of shape over something that wasn't your right to have in the first place. It grew up supernaturally, Jonah. It was provided for you divinely. And now you're all upset about it? People, listen, you know what this definition is that God states here by a comment? It's a definition of being spoiled. Hey, how come he got one that is real more bigger, shinier than mine? I got this thing. And perhaps the gift giver could come back and say, did you not have one at all until I gave you one? Well, yeah, but his is bigger. His is better. What right or what authority do you have over that gift? None. It's a what? Gift. You didn't earn it. The gift was given to you out of the goodness of someone's heart. They wanted to express their love to you. I got this Christmas probably one of, if not the greatest Christmas gift. I got a telescope. And I'm so excited about that because I love that kind of stuff. And it's funny because I'm looking at it and I'm reading about it and it's like, whoa, whoa. And I'm saying, hey, Lisa, guess what? This thing will track Jupiter as it goes across the sky. You just program it and you're pushing the buttons. By the way, and the thing moves to Jupiter and then it stays on it as it goes into the night. Now, if I would have said, you know what? The guy down the street, his is bigger. I would be a fool. Why? Because prior to Christmas morning, I didn't have a telescope. Now I got a telescope. I wasn't expecting a telescope. That's part of the best thing of it is I didn't expect one. There was no hint going on around it, about it. Jonah's sitting on a hill. It's hot out here. Whoop, a plant. Hey, this is great. I got my own plant. All those people down there, let them go to hell. What do I care? I got my plant. This is great. Then God takes the plant away, and now he's all angry about a plant. And he says, yeah, it's right for me to be angry even to the point of death. And God says, okay, time out. Wait a minute. Your argument is this. You're upset. You want to die, Jonah, because you don't have your plant anymore. You care about the plant. You have a very little world, Jonah. I care about the world. People are no longer going to perish. And you're concerned about a plant? Your argument is weak, Jonah. It's very, very small. You have a very small world view, Jonah. You need to open your eyes and see that a human being to me, Jonah, is far more important than some silly little plant that a worm could knock down in a moment's time. Where is your passion, Jonah, for the lost of the world? Jonah, what are you doing to benefit my concerns in the world? I am God, Jonah. You are not. You are my servant, the prophet. And you're fighting me all along the way. I can, listen, God can make plants come and go. He can make big fish come and go. He can make winds come and go, and he does it every day. But you know what? Humans are a whole other story. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it's appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes the judgment. When a human dies, it's it. It's over. Contrary to tradition, there's no purgatory. There's no second chance. You can't pray anybody out of that area that was created to make money for a certain church. Look at the history. And isn't it interesting, by the way, that all of the cults agree on this one thing? There is no hell. Isn't that interesting? The Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in hell. The Mormons do not believe in hell. The cults do not believe in hell. Yet Jesus warned against hell more than any other biblical personality. Why? Because hell's real. And God doesn't want one person to go there. So when somebody knocks on your door and says, oh, it's an allegorical thing, it's a myth, it's a type of teaching, it's a typology, it's a, he's trying to get a thought across. Oh no. God says heaven's real, hell is real, and man must choose where he's going to spend forever and eternity. You say, well, that's not very tolerant. Are you kidding? The greatest definition of tolerance in the world is Jesus Christ on a cross and him saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You want to talk about tolerance? It's Jesus Christ saying that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. And people will ignorantly say, that's not very tolerant. Are you blind and ignorant? The greatest act of tolerance in the history of mankind is Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the who? World. The whole world. He didn't say, I'm only going to die for white people. I'm only going to die for black people. I'm only going to die for the Hispanics. I'm only going to die for Americans, or I'm only going to die for Canadians, or I'm only going to die for Israelis. He didn't do that, did he? That would have been intolerance. Jesus Christ, God, is tolerant. When he says, listen, if I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men to myself. The greatest definition of tolerance in the world is Jesus on the cross inviting the world to come and believe in him. Don't be sold this revisionist thinking and redefining of words. It's amazing. It makes me angry, as you can probably tell. God says, you've had pity on the plant. You didn't even labor for it. You didn't make it grow. It came up overnight and it perished. What's it your business, Jonah? Spiritual things matter, and God challenges our arguments. Why is this important to you? Then finally we end. Verse 11, God says what he must, and God challenges Jonah's conclusion. He challenges the conclusion. He says in verse 11, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city which has within it more than 120,000 persons, listen, who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? A question comes and it challenges Jonah's conclusion. Should I not pity Nineveh, these innocent ones, and the animals too, is God's question? You already know the answer, don't you? Don't we know the answer? What is the answer? Yes. By the way, some people have a problem with this ending of the book because they think that there's some writings that have been left out, must continue somewhere. Well, you know what? Guess what? Jonah's the author of the book. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jonah's writing. When God asks this question, class, he says, should I not pity Nineveh? It's people, the little babies, 120,000 little children. They can't figure out what's my right hand, what's my left hand. They don't even know. Ignorant little children who are innocent. They don't know nothing. Shouldn't I pity them, Jonah? God asked Jonah a question. Shouldn't I pity Nineveh? Shouldn't I pity even the animals? Oh, yes, the animals. This society is more bent on saving a whale than they are a human. You get a $5,000 fine for cracking the egg of a bald eagle up at Big Bear. You go up to Lake Big Bear, you go to Big Bear Lake, and you break an egg of a bald eagle up there. You know that? $5,000 fine. You could be arrested. But we throw babies away. God challenges Jonah's conclusion. And I believe it changes his life. In that instant, that's why the pen stops. I think Jonah fell right on his face. Should I not pity Nineveh? Out of Jonah's own mouth, the answer had already come. I know you, God, that you are merciful and gracious. You forgive people. Should I not pity Nineveh? Yes. Should I not pity those little ones? Yeah. Should I not pity their parents? Mm-hmm. The animals? Yes. The king? Yeah. All of the people? Yes. The answer is yes. This question never ceases. It never stops. Should I not pity? It never ends. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, says the scripture. The answer is always yes. Shall I not pity? Listen, God would say to you and I, shall I not pity your enemies, Jack? Shall I not pity your enemies, Susie, Mary, John, whoever you might be? Yes. You hear our responses like Jonah's, yes. And the pen stops because the question goes on forever. Shall I not pity you, Jonah? Yes, please. Shall I not pity my people? Yes. Shall I not pity the world's most ruthless and nasty people? Yes. See, everyone, the answer, because now we know God's nature, it's always yes. He will show pity. To every person who will look unto God as Nineveh did, he extends his pity. Our job is to preach it and leave the conclusion to God. He will speak through us to a world in need of pity. And by God, through us, may they turn to him. And may the Lord use this church to be an evangelistic pump to send out the message and the messengers to preach the loving gospel of God so that all men might flee from the wrath to come.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Finding Jonah. And in fact, this is the final wrap-up of this entire series on the Runaway Prophet. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll begin a brand new series in the book of Acts. Now, because this is the end of this particular journey here on Real Radio, we encourage you to obtain this series on audio CD. It's available in an 11-CD package simply called The Book of Jonah, a study by Pastor Jack Hibbs. And it's yours for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Just know that your contributions have far-reaching effects internationally as well as across the nation, making this radio program possible. And it's all tax-deductible. So call, click, or write. Just be sure and mention the title, in a word, Jonah. Visit us at realradioactive.org and read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. Or call us using our new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also write to us, include your donation when you write to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, any details you may have missed are easily found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.